listening to Fan of a Fan, an independently produced podcast for stands by stands. I'm Augie.
And I'm Kayla. Hey y'all, Stan Stories is back, and we're talking to C from Throwback Beyonce, the Instagram account dedicated to throwback Beyonce pictures and content. We wanted to talk to her about what it's like running an Instagram account and being a part of an Instagram fandom versus, say, like a Twitter fandom, and it took a turn, you know? It was a very different conversation than we expected it to be, but it was amazing. And we definitely want to see your tweets about this episode, because I think you guys will be surprised by some of the things you'll hear. So use the hashtag FOAFpod and let's go.
So we started the interview off by asking C to take us back to when she first started her Instagram fan update account.
So I started Throwback Beyonce, I want to say a little, almost a year ago. Before that, I had been Beyonce TBT, which kind of had a similar theme to it, where it was just throwback pictures, of rare kind of exclusive pictures of Beyonce growing up, some interviews that she's done in the past, some audio that she recorded before she was famous. And it started about almost a year ago with Throwback in particular.
So can you like create a community and make friends on Instagram the same way we do on Twitter?
Yeah, it's two totally different worlds. With the Instagram fandom, they are a bit younger, so their viewpoints are a lot different. The way they handle, you know, conversations with other fandoms are a lot different than the way it is on Twitter. But I feel like on both, people have their cliques, people have their communities. I think both platforms are great outlets for people to express their love and connect and come together. I've met some of my best friends on Instagram and Twitter. My closest friends met, you know, at Beyonce events, and I think that it is possible on both platforms to really form a bond and form a community with people who love Beyonce.
So a question I have, I think, and part of why I was so interested in your account in particular, and just the experience specifically of like people in the Beehive, like on Instagram. Do you think that the Hive may be, I know like a lot of, you know, fandoms have Instagram fan accounts, but do you think like because Beyonce is more active on Instagram, like is that a pull for a lot of people in the Hive like to make Instagram fan accounts? Like, I don't know if she's out here liking people's pictures or not, but I mean, it is a platform that she prefers. Do you think there's maybe a connection between like the Hive gravitating towards Instagram to that being her preferred platform at all? Or like, what have you seen?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, with anyone who has any type of admiration or, you know, is drawn to a specific celebrity, they want to feel that connection. They want to feel that celebrity relates to them or wants to speak to them. They want, especially when you have other celebrities like Rihanna or Kim Kardashian, who are like always in the news for doing things for their fans. I feel like with Beyonce fans, you know, she's definitely hard to reach because she is the biggest celebrity, in my opinion, in our day and age. So people want that connection. People want to feel like their hard work is appreciated. And I feel like a lot of people gravitate toward Instagram because she's so active on Instagram. And because I think just yesterday she liked a picture on one of the really big fan accounts, and everyone was so excited and hyped and just really feeling that sense of hope that she does still want to connect with her fans. So I think that plays a part in why people gravitate toward Instagram to do their stanning. So I think everyone is vying for that, you know, golden opportunity to have Beyonce like their picture or comment or, you know, things like that.
That's pretty cool. I had no idea that she actually liked pictures and things like that. Honestly, I thought she posted her pictures and left.
Yeah, she did. Well, this is only the second time that she's done it, but it's the first time that it was done to an actual fan account. Like, she's reposted fan account pictures on her.
Yeah.
Like screenshots of fan account pictures and then post them on her Instagram. But this is the second time ever that she's liked a picture on Instagram, and it's the first time that it actually happened to be done. She happens to like a fan account Instagram, so I could only imagine how many people are going to create fan accounts now for.
So you're saying there's hope, basically, at this point.
Hope. You know what's funny was I actually interned for Beyonce. Fan account. Yeah. So I started interning for her when right around the time when she first tweeted, and I remember getting her, like, we would have to come up with a plan of how to get Beyonce to engage with her fans, being that she didn't start in an era where social media was so prominent. And yeah. I think that even when, because I dealt with the digital media and PR aspect of dealing with her, so I updated her Facebook account for her. I ran something called Fan Corps, where we gave out, you know, prizes to people who promoted her things. And I think when she first tweeted, or when we first got her to tweet, that was like such a big moment for everyone, because it's like, we're making, because she was so against it. But I think it's because, you know, when Beyonce's been in the business for about 20 years, and social media is still fairly new. Where back then, it was, you bought the albums, you did promo, you know, you went to the events, if you were sold, you were sold. And it was just a big moment for everyone to, you know, have her create that Twitter, have her expand and make her own website, have her start a Tumblr for Blue Ivy. So I think it was just a great moment for everyone, because we weren't expecting it.
So I'm sure you guys have gotten this question a million times, but we're going to ask you too. Where do you guys find the pictures, if you can reveal that?
Definitely. Well, most of my pictures I've gotten just from collecting over the years. I mean, the first time I met Beyonce, I was 5. This was like in 1998. And ever since then, I was so infatuated with her and her music and her background. And, you know, I remember, you know, saving posters and when I was younger and like doing my research. When I got my first computer, I had to be about 6 or 7. And I just remember becoming very technically savvy, thanks to Beyonce, of learning how to use the internet. And, you know, I would record the Destiny's Child documentaries and stuff on VCR tapes. And that's where they, you know, that's when they showed a lot of footage that you don't see nowadays. So it's not, it's exclusive if, you know, if you weren't keeping up with the times. And I was like an abnormal 5-year-old. I think 5 and 6-year-olds were playing with Barbie dolls. Like, the normal 5 and 6-year-olds were playing with Barbie dolls. So they weren't really paying attention to, oh, let me record this Destiny's Child, you know, documentary, or let me go Google Beyonce. And I think that, you know, when Destiny's Child was still under Music World, and they did do those documentaries, a lot of her throwback videos or her audios or her baby pictures were included in that documentary, because this was around the time where they were still trying to push Destiny's Child and trying to tell a story of who Destiny's Child was, who Beyonce was. Yeah. And she was really pushed as that forefront woman, so a lot of footage was thrown out in the media at one time, and I just so happened to save it from maybe 1999 till now. And that's where, and when I posted, it's not that it wasn't posted before, it's just a lot of people, like I said, like, especially with the Instagram hype, a lot of them are very young, they weren't even born when this stuff was released, so it's just reposting things, like going into an archive. I floppy disks and hard drives, and I have like 6 computers just full of Beyonce stuff from over the years. And, you know, I just, once in a while when I have time, I go back into that archive and pull out some of the old stuff that was posted but is no longer on the internet, and I upload that. Some of the other ones that I get, I've connected with Beyonce's childhood friends and family. I'm actually close to one of her babysitters, and I get a lot of my pictures and stuff from either the babysitters or, you know, friends and family who grew up with her, people who are willing to share the photos, the stories. I've heard a lot of her childhood stories just by talking to these people and just really connecting, being open and upfront with them. Like, it was really interesting. I I don't remember how I came across one of the babysitters, but, you know, like, I told her what I wrote her from the fan page. I said, hey, you know, this is a fan page. Like, if you have any photos or stories to contribute, I'd be willing to post them for you. I'll give you credit. And then a lot of them, they're really forthcoming. And I think one of the craziest stories that I heard was at 5 years old, Beyonce's babysitter saved her life because she had a really big, massive, I think, pit bull or German shepherd who came mauling at Beyonce's face when she was 5 years old. And they saved her. Like, they pushed the dog and basically saved her life. So, like, Beyonce is here because of that babysitter. But it's just really cool little things like that. Where I learned just by communicating and being open and, you know, being very transparent about what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. And basically, I feel like a lot of, you know, today's, you know, youth, they know Beyonce, they listen to her music, but nobody really does the research to understand how she became who she is. I think a lot of people see the glitz and the glamour and they just think, oh, well, she's lucky or she had the right people. It's not that. A lot of what Beyonce does, maybe 99.9% of it, was hard work that started as a child. You know, her childhood was basically non-existent because she's lived and breathed music for so long. And I think that what motivated me to even start Throwback Beyonce was to show people that, no, she's more than just this megastar. This is all the backstory of Beyonce. And I want people to feel like when they visit my page, they understand, well, you know, this is who Beyonce was. This is how she became who she, these are audio tracks when she was 10 years old, when other 10-year-olds were riding bikes and things like that. Like, so that's why I created the page, to have, you know, people not only get to see things that they maybe missed out on, but also get to understand who exactly they're standing for and why they're standing, why she's such an important figure and why she is where she is today.
That's amazing. So, okay, yeah. I think, like, the whole rare photos and throwback photos, like, section of fandom, like, across all platforms, like, I think a lot of people will be familiar with a lot of the rare photos that were on Tumblr, for example. There were tons of, like, rare photo, like, Tumblr accounts that were dedicated to, like, celebrities and, you know, TV show casts and everything like that. And I feel like some people just look at these accounts as, like, just something, another account that they follow to kind of feel closer to whoever it is that they're, you know, stanning. But, like, the way you describe it, it sounds like so much more than, like, than just any account. It's almost like an archive of sorts of, like, you know, that you'd see in a museum or something like that. Like, have you ever thought about, like, taking all of these stories and photos and everything that you've been archiving and, like, putting it into, like, a book or a museum or, like, some kind of gallery type thing? Like, have you ever thought of, like, making this even, you know, bigger than what you've had so far?
Well, actually, some people have asked me that. And I never thought about it, because at Parkwood, Beyonce basically has an archive of everything that I have. So she actually had an archive in Parkwood, or, like, when they would, you know, like, I was the intern that was also the fan, and they knew that I was a fan. So whenever they didn't have anything, they were like, Celeste, can you send us something? And, you know, like, I kept it, you know, like, I never thought of bringing it to a bigger audience, more so of, like, this is for the fans, you know, like, I don't want to make a profit off of it, or I never really sought to get, like, you know, fame or any type of attention off of it. Everything I did was more just to, you know, expand, you know, the fandom and to show people that Beyonce is more than just a pretty face and talent. Like, whatever Beyonce needs, I still send whatever, you know, her team needs, I send it right over. But other than that, I never really thought of it. Although I have been asked, like, hey, why don't you create a YouTube channel and put all the stuff up there? But no, not really.
That's okay. And then one other question I had was just about the account itself and, like, how it's run, because it seems like it is a mixture of, like, you're posting, you know, these rare videos and photos, but then it's also some of you guys is, like, personal posts, like, or your opinions about, like, the whole Nicki Remy beef. I saw some posts about that. There was one post about, like, asking someone to, like, bring someone, like, Frenchies because they were hungry. And so it was, like, all the, like, it's another aspect, I think, that's fascinating to us as people who don't have Instagram fan accounts, about how, like, you engage. And can you just, like, break down a little bit again, like, how you guys run the account? And do you have, like, a certain number of posts you want to post per day, or is it kind of just, like, a fun, you know, you're just posting when you feel like it?
what started the personal, because it used to just be strictly, you know, this is Beyonce, this is the year the photo was taken, or I'll post a picture of her and do like fun trivia with the fans or play games with the fans. What started the personal accounts was that myself and one of the co-runners, Crystal, because what happened was I started filming a TV show. So I wasn't able to run the account because I was filming. And Crystal kind of took over. And we decided that we would start something called Side Chat Sundays, where basically we would give like, we would go live on Instagram and give like motivational speeches to people, because there would be just so much drama in the fandom. And like, I'm way too old for this. So like, we had to unify the fandom by doing like little games together, we started the Side Chat Sunday to kind of motivate people to just be nice to each other and kind of like to avoid, you know, arguing with other fandom. We started like the new Beehive 2017, where Crystal and I will personally go on live and we would give a motivational speech of kind of like, you know, living your life, living your truth, not getting caught up behind a computer screen, and to stop the bullying and to kind of unify each other. And then there would be times where we would do Side Chat Sunday and people would ask about my experience with Beyonce. How is she as a person? What's your favorite moments with Beyonce? And then I would share that with them. If it's something big like the Grammy nights, we would do Side Chat Sunday and talk about the Grammy performances, kind of things to get everyone talking instead of arguing. So once we started Side Chat Sunday, we really started it because I had known about Beyonce's pregnancy. So I would post like little hints here and there in my captions about her being pregnant. And that was the first Side Chat Sunday segment. But then people, you know, we got a really great feedback from it that we weren't expecting. We just wanted to, you know, share our advice and share our wisdom with the younger fan base. But then it really took off and people were really interested in getting to know me and Crystal personally. And my personal Instagram is private. I don't really accept everyone. And Crystal's is the same way. So people DM us on a regular basis and ask to see little snippets of our personality. A lot of people have seen me on TV with Beyonce multiple times, so they knew who I was before the fan account. They were really interested in getting to know who we are. And sometimes, like, if there's no initial by it, it's mostly me. there's a K by it, then it's Crystal. And then we have another page runner who, her name is Vicky, and she lives in London. So when we're sleeping, she's up, she'll post, kind of to give fans, you know, the 24/7 type of feel. But Crystal has also been assisting me because I've been doing a lot of commercials and TV and film. So I haven't had time to run it the way I started to run it. And she is helping me, so she hasn't had time. So whenever we go like a day or two without posting, we would let Vicky know, like, hey, you can post something. Or sometimes Vicky will just pick up on, you know, hey, they haven't posted in 3 days. Let me just, you know, post something and keep the fans engaged and let them know we didn't forget about them. So there's really no like set like logistic to it, like, oh, post 3 times a day or post. It's kind of like do as you go. The way I organize it is that if I go through my archive, because I have over 30,000 videos and pictures, so I don't go through it often. But when I do, find something really cute or something that the fans would really like, I would post that and be like, hey, I don't think fans have seen this in a while. Let me post it. We've been getting great feedback about the page for the most part.
But okay, so you said the first time you met Beyonce was when you were 5. Yeah. Can you like talk about how that happened and then maybe also just tell us another fun Beyonce story? Because like it sounds like you've met her quite. How many times have you met her?
Over.
Do you even know?
Over 45 times.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
And I'm actually going to see her again the last week of April. So it's really exciting.
That's amazing. Yeah. So what happened when you were 5 years old?
So when I was 5 years old, my uncle is in the music industry. So I've always grown up around music and, you know, just the art of it. Like I wasn't really close to my parents growing up. Like I didn't really have the best childhood. So my outlet for my anger and my frustration and my loneliness and just feeling confused about, you know, life as a young kid, you know, was my music. Music was my outlet. Music was my outlet from all the trauma that I endured, at such a young age. And my uncle, you know, thank God he was in the industry. So I was always with him in Sony and stuff like that. And I remember, you know, Destiny's Child had a showcase for Sony because this was around the time that they were getting signed. And my uncle had brought back like one of the sample CDs or whatever. And I listened to it and I was immediately drawn to it. And I just fell in love and I was like, oh my God. And then like Killing Time came out for the Men in Black soundtrack. And I was just like, yes, I love this. And I remember when I was around, I was about to turn 6, and Destiny's Child had opened up for Eve. And I think it was Boyz II Men. This was a while ago. And so I like begged my mom to take me. I'm like, I have to see them. Those are the girls on the CD. Those are the girls on the CD. So my mom had taken me. And I guess they were the Beyonce and the rest of the girls, they were pretty amazed because they were still a fairly new group. And I was only almost 6 years old. And I knew all the words. And I was dancing my way because I was just in my glory to be there. And I was singing and dancing nonstop. And then I remember Beyonce coming over to our section and she was like, you know, shout out to the little girl. She knew all the dance moves and all the songs. And I'm just in my glory, like my mom is shaking me like, hello, she's talking to you. And I'm just like, what? Like, I just want to sing and dance. Leave me alone. And I remember when we were leaving and one of Beyonce's people, one of Destiny's Child's people had came over and was like, hey, you're the little girl from the audience. Like, you have a few moments. The girls want to meet you. And then like, you know, at 6 years old, I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll see them on TV. Like it wasn't clicking in my head. And then I had met them backstage and I my mom told me I was like really rude because the girls were like trying to hug me and I just ran to Beyonce and like just stood in her arms like, okay. And I'll say hi to you guys from over there. And yeah, so immediately I was just drawn to Beyonce from that day. And then it's so crazy because she had brought me backstage to one of her shows 10, 11, 12 years later. And we were talking about it. And we were just like, I was just like, do you remember when you shouted out that girl in the show? And she's like, yeah, how do you know about that? And I was like, because that was me. And she's like, yeah. Oh my God, I remember. She's like, then I'll see you again 10 years later. And now you're all grown up. And then like, you know, it was just emotional. She started crying and I started crying. She's like, I've known you so many years. I can't believe I watched you grow up. And it was just, yeah, it was just pretty cool. She just, something about her just relaxes you and makes you feel like it's okay. Like I'm talking to a friend. And you immediately forget that she's this big sensation. Like she's the most powerful woman because she's still so humble and, you know, is full of so much humility. And her mother is such a great human being. Her parents are amazing and her whole family is just really great. And they're so caring. I remember when I went to see her in France, I had traveled to France to see her with my friend and we don't speak French at all. But it was Beyonce's first show right after 4 had released, had come out. And I was like, oh my God, like she's going to be so sad because these people don't know the words because this album just came out like 2 days ago. She's going to be so sad. Let's just go surprise her. We'll know the words. We'll be in the front. We'll do whatever. We like camped out in 113 degree weather, like had t-shirt tans and everything. And we just, you know, surprised her. And she, you know, she brought us backstage and her mom was like, oh, how'd you get here? And we were like, we walked a highway. Because we didn't know how to call a cab. We didn't know how to do anything. The hotel, we walked the highway. And her mother's like, are you kidding me? Why didn't you call someone? And I'm just like, listen, I don't want to feel like a nag. Like you, she's like, you should have called us. We would have. So yeah, like she's like, did you eat? And we're like, no. We kind of so she's like, come, I'm bringing you food right now. And then like Beyonce and her mom made sure that we ate. She gave us money. She's like, here, take money for a cab. But then she put us in the car, like in the dancer's car. And she's like, you know, like there's certain fans that Beyonce doesn't look at as fans. She looks at as family. And, you know, you guys have been there since day one. And we never want you to camp out. If you need anything, call. We don't want you to get sick. You know, if you're hungry, just let us know. So it's really crazy that, you know, someone of this magnitude can still, you know, do things for fans that people wouldn't expect. You know, people expect Beyonce to be a diva, you know, this woman who just doesn't care, and she really does care.
This is also new to me. Like it's just like I'm in shock right now listening to all of this, you know.
There's a lot more people people got to, you know, experience that side of her. I've seen her cry over my struggles, you know what I'm saying? Like, I told her about what I've been through as a child and, you know, not having my parents and going through so much trauma at such a young age. And she cried, and it wasn't crying like, oh, let me cry now because I'm hearing a sad story. It was genuine. And her mom cried, and her stylist cried, and everyone in the room just shared a moment. And, you know, I told her, I was just like, listen, standing for you is not easy, girl. I've gotten death threats. I've gotten, you know, the worst of the worst. But, you know, I do it because it's the least that I can do for you, for being my outlet and not even knowing. You didn't have to try. You, I know you hear it all the time that you save lives, but honestly, this, you saved my life, and the least that I can do for you is to support you and give back and show my love and appreciation. A lot of people, the people who don't know I run, they're like, you're wasting your time running an account for a woman who doesn't know you. And I'm like, pause. Yeah. It's like, people don't understand, you know, a lot of people have different outlets and ways of coping with things. And I find that's very common in the Beehive, you know, speaking to these people on a personal level, because a lot of, you know, people will DM me their problems, and, you know, I'm always open to help. But what I find that's very common among the fandom is that what connects a lot of us is that throughout all of that feeling, she was there, whether it's physically, whether it's emotionally, whether it's, you know, through her music, through her, you know, being on TV shows or movies or whatever. She was there, and people don't understand that. You know, like, we could have turned to drugs. We could have turned to, you know, sport. People adore sports. You know, we could have gone so many paths in life. And people who can't relate just see it as, okay, you're a creep. You're running a fan page for a person, you know, like, you're living through this celebrity, where it's like, people don't understand you can have a life and still, you know, show your support in other ways. You know, like, so there are some people who just post pictures for followers, and, you know, that sense of having a lot of followers makes them feel powerful, completes them, makes them feel like they matter, in where in the real world they may feel like they don't matter. And that may be, you know, the goal for some people, just to post your pictures to get followers. For me, the goal is to spread the word about an amazing woman who can probably save someone else's life the way she saved mine. So, you know, to the outside world, they don't really get it. And, you know, like, growing up, people have made fun of me all the time, you know, for just being obsessed with this woman. But unless you're in it, you don't really get it.
Yeah. And you can have a life and still do it. Like, yes. I still have a life. I'm doing film and TV, and I still, you know, make time to do this. It's knowing how to balance it, and doing it for the right reason. You know, just understanding why you're doing it. And
this is an amazing conversation.
I know. I'm happy, like, we need to just give you the whole entire episode.
Yeah, you don't even need to say anything else.
I know. But seriously, so before we go, like, was there anything that we didn't ask you, either about, like, the account itself, or, like, your experience, or anything at all that you didn't mention that you want to maybe talk a little bit about? Or do you think we're all good?
I think you guys are great. I've listened to a few of your podcasts. I think you guys are, first of all, congrats on doing this. You're two Thank women. You already know all the odds are against us as women. But... I really admire the fact that you guys, you know, are starting this and spreading awareness and, you know, creating such great podcasts. So thank you guys for having me. And also, if, you know, if there are people who listen, who follow the Throwback X Yancey account, if there's anything specifically you would guys want to see more of or less of, you know, my DMs are always open. We're always open to feedback and, you know, tailoring our content to, you know, match whatever the audience is looking for. But congrats on your show, and you guys are awesome, and thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much for being on.
Yes, thank you guys.
And so before you go, can you just say the name of your Instagram one more time, so people can give it a follow if they don't already?
Yeah, sure. It's Throwback X Yancey.
Cool. And then we will also link it in our description box, and we'll make sure we post it on our Twitter as well when the episode drops, so everybody can find it quickly. But yeah, thank you so much, and we'll definitely be in touch and have you back.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
So shout out to our amazing podcast DJ, Dion. She goes by your girl DJ Magic, and she produces the amazing music that you hear at the beginning and end of every episode. You can follow her on Twitter and SoundCloud and everything else at your girl DJ Magic, and you can find all of her links in our description box.
You can follow us on Twitter at The Fan Podcast. That's the show's Twitter. And you can also find our Twitter names in the description box, wherever you're listening. And yeah.
Cool. Thank you, guys.
That's the end of
That's
the
end of the episode. We hope you loved it. Yes. And yeah, so we'll see you guys next time.